All right. Did you hear the song that they were just playing? Amazing Love. Doesn't that describe God's love? All right. Well, we are so grateful that you are here this morning. Thanks for coming and worshiping with us today. If you are a guest with us, welcome. We are so thankful that you've chosen to worship with us today. When you came in this morning, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you take a moment, just fill that out, drop it in the offering plate. When it comes by, that will be such a big help to us. Hopefully you also received a bulletin as well as everybody else. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. If you don't have a bulletin, you can't open it up. So you'll have to wait till you get one after church and then open it up when you don't, not while you're driving, but when you get home, okay? How many of you figured out how to make it to church this morning? All right. I'm talking about the construction, okay? All right. So I'm glad you made it today. All right, so Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m., men, we have our leadership team meeting. I hope you have that on your calendar. Saturday, men, we have men's breakfast, and it will be at Golden Corral, the one over on Emerald, not the one in Nampa. Okay, so don't go to Nampa. Go to the one on Emerald. So be there at 8 a.m., and let's enjoy a great time of fellowship as well as food. So I don't know if you are aware or not, but the Richies, if they're not smiling today, there's a really good reason. It's because they had to postpone their trip to Uganda. So they're going to postpone it till maybe next year. So we just need to pray that God will just continue to give them peace in this decision. It was not an easy decision for them to be able to make. So as you can tell, we're going to be observing communion today. Also, don't forget our daily bread devotional books for the next quarter, which begin tomorrow, are out on the information table. So you might want to make sure that you get that. We are in the process of updating our church pictorial directory. If today's the day you want Christine to take your picture, you're going to have to do it today. Okay, so get with Christine today. She won't probably be here next week. So if you want her to do it, then you need to be able to do it. But we want to try to get this done so that we can get it published and get it into your hands very, very soon. So please help us with that. So there's details in there. We need to make sure that we have your current information. So if you've been a recent attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church and you've been praying, and God has prompted you to be able to make this the place that he wants for you to be able to be a part of, the church family he wants you to be able to share in, then make sure that you get your information and get your picture taken for the devotional. Not only are there daily bread devotional books out on the information table, but there's a couple things regarding the upcoming 50th anniversary of the church coming up in September. There are some invitation cards. Not all of you have received an invitation by email. Maybe you did, but you haven't checked your junk department. You haven't checked your spam department. It might have gone there. But if you haven't got one, if you haven't gotten an invitation, there are invitations printed up out on the information table. So that will tell you how to be able to RSVP. It is important for you to RSVP for the anniversary. I know this is only almost the beginning of June, and it's not till the somewhat beginning of September, so you think you got plenty of time, but our anniversary team is in the process of planning, and they are putting a lot of details together. And they're trying to base what they need according to their planning, according to who's going to be here. Church family, we need you to RSVP, and we need you to step up. This isn't just for people who have been a part of Lake Hazel Bible Church in the past. This is for people that are a part of Lake Hazel Bible Church in the current. And so we need you to be able to sign up. So if you haven't responded yet, please make sure that you do that. Either pick up a card or go see one of the people on our team. Three of them are sitting right up here in the front. So we have Lisa and Robert, and we have Christy. So if you haven't signed up yet, if you haven't RSVP'd, you can tell them verbally that you're going to be here for the whole weekend, or ask them what events are going to be happening during the weekend, and then you can sign up for those particular events. All right. If you have any questions, see one of them or see Andrea, who is our anniversary team coordinator. Also, we are going to want to get T-shirts for the church anniversary. So this sign-up sheet for T-shirts is out on the information table. It will be out there right after church. And so we need you to sign up. We need you to pick what color. You have a choice. You can get gray. You can get purple. Gray, purple. Purple, gray. You got that? Don't say, I want a blue one. It's not an option. Okay? All right? And then your size. If you don't see your size on here, tell one of the people on the anniversary team that you didn't find your size on here, and they'll make sure to be able to make a note of that. So we want you to sign up, okay? The idea right now is everybody in our church family that signs up will get one shirt. If you want multiple shirts, you'll have to pay for them. We don't know what the cost is yet because we don't know how many we're going to order. That's what this is for, to be able to tell our anniversary team how many shirts to order. Everybody understand that? Clear as iced tea? All right, good. Okay, if you have any questions, again, see one of the members of the anniversary team, and they'll be able to help you with that. Okay? All right. I think I'm done. Some of you are hoping I'm done, right? Okay. We ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to praise the Lord? Yes. Hey, he brought us here this morning, even in the midst of the rows being closed. But We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me this morning? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise. Oh,
Father, we came to praise you this morning. We thank you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for what he did for us so that we could live for you. We could praise you. We could have a future and a hope with you. You are holy, 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 and we love you.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, and now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. You gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, so let my old life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Oh, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. God forever.
Go ahead and give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of our praise today. Come on. God, we give you glory today. We glorify you and you alone. You're the only one worthy. You're the only one worth it, worth all of our praise today. So, Lord, today we lift up a voice and we praise you.
Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. A song that overcomes a raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms a storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. Yeah. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. Oh, 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 we praise you. living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
God is worthy of our praise today. If you haven't catched that, that's the theme of today's entire set of music. He is worthy, he is worthy. God, we are just going to sing about how wonderful you are, how amazing is the grace that you gave us, how awesome is your love for us. We're going to sing all about you today. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. Then I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Declare this. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life.
would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
All right, you can go and be seated. I'll give you a break. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. It's good to be here, and it's good to praise. I had this thought last night, and the thought was, it's time to let go of perfectionism. Whatever it is, the thing in your life that you feel like, gosh, I'm just not good enough. It's just not good enough to give to the Lord. I can't sing well enough. I can't dance well enough. Whatever it is, I can't do good enough. Let it go. We're here for one reason. That's to praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He doesn't ask you to be perfect. He asks you to be willing. He asks you to have faith. He asks you simply to come to him, and he'll take care of the rest. So as we sing this song, and as our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, would you hear these words? He will never let go. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. You keep on running and you never let go. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Singing, oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. And you know what? If we don't think he's holding on to us, it's not because he let go of us. Maybe it's because we let go of him. What do you think? All right, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. I know, how long's it been since you've heard a message from 2 Chronicles? Yeah, probably a long while. Okay. Most conversations that we have with others are about the day-to-day experiences in our lives. Sometimes these conversations happen when we're checking in with one another, which is good. And sometimes we have conversations which lead us to be a bit more introspective. Does that ever happen to you? A conversation that causes you to stop in your tracks? Now, not a bad or critical conversation, just one where something is stated that is profound. Recently, I had a conversation that really got me thinking. The person that I was talking to made this statement: God can do more with my surrender than I can ever do with my control. Wow. God can do more with my surrender than I can ever do with my control. That one made me step back and think for a moment how profound that is. Isn't that true? We want to seek control in our situations, which means sometimes we fight against God, especially when God wants us to do something which is out of our control. And sometimes, even for a little while, we feel good about what we are doing because we think we're in control. But even that eventually comes crashing down around us. And that experience leads us to an Old Testament narrative. It is one in which, for the leaders of the nation of Israel, it would have been so easy to say, "Okay, God, I've got to get this done, so I hope you'll get back to me." You ever told that to God? God, I got to get this done, so I'll handle it. I just hope you bless me in the process. Right? That's the place we often come from. We say, "God, please walk along the path I set before me. When the going gets tough, I will call on you to take the lead, but only after I've exhausted all possible outcomes." Sound familiar? It does to me. And part of this Old Testament narrative is reliance on God. And part of it is about a group of people who are being real and honest with God and one another. It's really a picture of their unity. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hopefully by now you found that in your Bibles and follow along as I read down through verse 12. "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom,' some men came and told him, 'from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazan Tamar,'" that is known as En Gedi. "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, the judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them?'" for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know what? There's some things in this that I want us to be able to see this morning to help point us towards the celebration of communion. The first thing is there's a total reliance on God. A total reliance on God. This is such a rich display of trust. It's about people who have such a strong and powerful belief in God. And when trouble comes, they know who to call on. Instead of going after these enemies, instead of planning their attack and having strategic meetings with the generals and warriors, they put their eyes on God. They're not looking to solve the situation on their own. This is total reliance on God. Notice that Jehoshaphat did not rely himself. Verse 3 tells us he was afraid. I appreciate the honesty of that. Jehoshaphat told the people to assemble, and then he proclaimed a fast. They needed to call on God. He led the people in a courageous prayer to God. And the people responded. They came together from all over the kingdom to pray. In verse 9, Jehoshaphat told God they would stand before God and his holy name. They trusted God that he would not only hear them, but that he would also deliver them from this impending situation. They were confident God would give them the victory. They were not going to back down. Their desire was to glorify God, even if it meant defeat and maybe even death. And Jehoshaphat makes this bold declaration in verse 12. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Is that true for us? Sometimes we do not know what to do. We are at a loss on our own strength. And when this happens, our prayer should be, God, all we can do is one thing. Put our focus on you. Not on our situation. Not on our circumstances. Not on the things of the world. Our eyes are on you. That goes back to that conversation that I had, where that person said to me, God can do more with my surrender than I can ever do with my control. You see, when my eyes are on God, I can surrender my control. When my eyes are on me, not so much. No surrender. When my eyes are on the world, no surrender. But when my eyes are on God, I can surrender my control. There's a lesson here. The Israelites came together. There was unity. They weren't fighting and complaining about who had a better idea or plan. They followed what they were instructed to do. They started with prayer. Wow, what a great lesson. When there are circumstances, when there are situations, when the issues of life are coming up against us, the first thing we need to do is pray. But usually that's the last thing we do. Why? Because we want to be in control. And when we're in control, we're not surrendering. And when we're not surrendering, we're manipulating. We're manipulating the situation. We're manipulating the issues. We're manipulating those circumstances of life for our advantage. And when we mess it up to the point to where there's no more that we can do, then what do we say is, here, God, I've done everything I can do. You take it now. And then oftentimes we think we've surrendered it, but shortly after we give it to God, what do? We take it back. We take it back. And then what happens? It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Why? Because our eyes are on the wrong things. When things are happening in the world around us, or even within our own individual world that we don't understand, the first thing we need to do is check our eyesight. Where are our eyes looking? Our eyes should be looking on him. Our eyes should be checking out his word. They started with prayer and sought God's wisdom and plan. They were unified And even during fear and attack, they were united. Here's the second thing I want us to look at this morning. There's a trial in the wilderness. I'm going to pick it up in verse 13, and I'm going to read down through verse 17. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Aren't you glad you didn't have to read those out loud? And Jahaziel said, "Listen, all Judea and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. The enemies are approaching from the wilderness, from the desert, close to the Dead Sea. They're coming from the pass of Ziz. They're coming from the wilderness, a dangerous territory where hidden cliffs and dangerous mountain passes. This is sometimes the area where we find ourselves in life, in the wilderness. Maybe you're here this morning, and for some reason, you found yourself in the wilderness. We end up in the wilderness. We end up in the desert seasons as well. This is where our trust in God is tested. And throughout God's word, the wilderness is where God displays his strength and provision. Israel wandered in the wilderness there for 40 years. Now, let me just remind you from our study of the book of Exodus, the wilderness is not like we think of a wilderness here in America. You know, we think of Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone trucking through the wilderness, you know, moving the brush aside, you know, going down by little creeks and streams to be able to find water and lots of game. That's not a wilderness in the Bible. The wilderness in the Bible is a desert. Nothing but sand, sometimes sagebrush, not a whole lot of game, not a whole lot of water. It's a barren place. It's a desolate place. It is not a place to be able to camp out. It's not like going to McCall. It's not even close. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But did they ever lack anything? Nope. The prophets, when times got tough, the prophets fled to where? The wilderness. Did they ever lack anything? No, they didn't. Jesus was tempted. Where? Oh yeah, in the wilderness. Did he lack anything? No, not at all. See, the wilderness is where our resources run thin, our clarity fades, and our dependence on God becomes necessary. Let me say that again. The wilderness is where our resources run thin, our clarity fades, and our dependence on God becomes necessary. And the enemy often comes from places that seem empty and barren. The king was informed there was a coming invasion. A scout came and warned him. But that's not usually our experience, is it? Somebody doesn't come to us and say, "Hey, there's some issues of life that are coming your way. Hey, there's some circumstances that you don't see coming, but they're on the way. There's some things that you're going to have to deal with that may be difficult." Nope. They just what? Show up. And it takes us from the place that God desires for us to be, and it puts us where? In the wilderness. When the unpleasant circumstances of life come our way, we don't get advance warning. They arrive unannounced. They aren't scheduled. They're already advancing before we realize it. And what we do next often determines the outcome. The honesty of the situation is important. The beauty is that Jehoshaphat's fear did not cause him to panic. It did not drive the people to panic. It drove them to seek God. And what made this so tough is that the enemy that was coming against King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah was family. Often the enemy is closer than we realize. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites are not strangers. They're relatives. Moab and Ammon descended from Lot. Edom, associated with the Meunites or Mount Seir, are descendants of Esau. They came from Edom, Esau's land. These nations share bloodlines, history, and unresolved tension. They represent opposition that is close, inherited, and complicated. We've been there too. We have lived the best life we can for God, and we think that we should be protected from the circumstances of life, but it does not always happen the way we want. We are fighting for control instead of trusting God for his plan, even when we don't understand it. You know, when I left the secular workforce and went into ministry as an Awana missionary, I knew that there was going to be opposition. I knew that the devil was not going to like what it was that I believed God was calling and equipping me and Becky to be able to do. I knew that wasn't going to make him happy. Start an Awana program in churches all over the Northwest so that God's word could be put into the, by memorization, put into the lives of boys and girls and teenagers. That would not have made him happy. Being able to help churches that didn't have anything as far as outreach into their community, help them be able to start an opportunity to be able to reach out into their community with the word of God, that wasn't going to make Satan happy. I knew there was going to be opposition. I thought I was ready for that. And I think I was. The opposition that I wasn't ready for was the opposition that came from the inside. That came from Christian circles. That came from spiritual people. I wasn't prepared for that. That threw me for a loop. And that's the way that it happens. Sometimes when things are that we know that God wants us to do, and there's opposition against it, it comes from the people that we know best. And that brings us to the third point, which is a trust in God. Do you notice Jehoshaphat gathers the nation of Israel, men, women, children, teens, and he stands in the temple court and he prays. He doesn't rush to judgment. He doesn't perform. He anchors himself in who God is. Sovereign, faithful, covenant keeping, ruler over heaven and earth. Didn't we sing about that God this morning? I believe we did. His prayer is open and honest, and he says it all in verse 12. Our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This isn't resignation. It's alignment. And when the troubles come, when the issues of life come, when the unpleasant circumstances come, when the doubts and fears start to invade our lives, we don't need to resign. We need to align. We need to look to God. We need to put our eyes on him. Now notice that Jehoshaphat does not deny the size of the threat. He just stops trying to resolve it. Charles Spurgeon wrote about this passage. Israel prayed, our eyes are on you. What did they mean by that? They meant, Lord, if help does come, it must come from you. We are looking to you for it. It cannot come from anywhere else. So we look to you. No bravado. No Braveheart moments. No Maverick. No John Wayne. Eyes focused. Only on where the help must come from, on God. Let's continue on with the narrative starting in 2 Corinthians, or 2 Chronicles. I'm going to start reading back again in verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to read down through verse 21. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jerul. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures." What's the word? Forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Notice it doesn't say our strength endures forever. Notice it doesn't say your strength endures forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Now notice what God does not do here. He does not explain why the enemy formed. He does not justify the timing. He does not outline the mechanics. He reassigns ownership. The battle is not yours. What's he saying? This battle belongs to me. And that brings the trust in God's word. Judah is told to go out, to position themselves, and then what? To stand firm and see the deliverance of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is writing to the believers in the church at Ephesus, and he's writing about a spiritual battle that they are enduring. And he says to them, don't run. He says to them, don't outline a plan that's of your own making. What does he tell them? He tells them in just a couple verses, he tells them this three times. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. You see, when we trust in God, we don't have to leave the battle. We don't have to try to orchestrate things for us to be able to have victory in the battle. When we stand firm, we can say, God, the battle belongs to you. The battle is yours. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. I know that deliverance is coming from these circumstances. I know that deliverance is coming from these issues of life. I know that deliverance is coming. And I'm just going to stand firm. And I'm going to wait for you to do it in your time. And in your way, in your strength. Wow. Judah is told to go out, to position themselves, to stand firm, and they will see the deliverance of God. Are you ready for this? They will participate by watching God at work. That's the only thing that they're supposed to do, is stand firm and what? Watch God work. Can I remind you of something? That when you need God to work in your life, he doesn't need your help. He doesn't need your help. All he needs for you to do is stand firm. Give it to him, because the battle belongs to him. And whatever the outcome, He doesn't need you to take responsibility for. He'll do that. All the glory, when he delivers, all the glory goes where? Goes to him. Oh, weren't we reminded of that this morning as well? I think so. So here's Judah. They have no control. Only trust. You ever been that place? You've come to the end of your rope. You've come to your wit's end. You have nothing more to hang on to. You've controlled and controlled and manipulated and still not any better. Trust God. Trust God. That's what Judah did. They had no control. So they were in a place, what? They trusted God. God sends them to the battlefield, but he removes their responsibility to win the battle. Jehoshaphat believes God's word, and the people trust. And God brings the victory. How great is that? You see, many of us face battles like Israel. They are not isolated issues, but converging ones. Family history, relational strain, cultural pressure, spiritual fatigue, internal fear. And sometimes we can't even figure out the cause, but the cause isn't important. Sometimes we are totally clueless as to the why. The why is not important. We cannot fix it. Fixing it is not up to us. We cannot resolve it. That's not important. We can't do it on our own. And it doesn't mean we're failing. It could be we are exactly where Jehoshaphat stood. What did he say? We have no power. We don't know what to do. But God, our eyes are upon you. Those words are not words of defeat. They are a declaration of trust. And when trust is aligned on the promises of God, God reminds us, I've got this. The battle is mine. And he tells us that over and over again in his word. He tells us to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will what? Direct your paths. We need to trust him. We need to trust him. There needs to be a moment when we stop asking for clarity and we begin to trust. So this morning, as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of communion, I want us to pray and ask God to help us put our eyes on him. Because that's what the celebration of communion is all about. It helps us to put our eyes on God. Our focus in this celebration of communion is centered on what Jesus has done for us so that we can clearly see God's redemption from sin. Jesus' body was broken for us. Jesus' blood was shed for us. And so as we celebrate communion this morning, put your eyes on him. And as the men are coming to join me at the table, let me just remind you that in order to participate in this celebration of communion this morning, you do not have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to believe in Jesus for the promise of eternal life. You just have to know that he went to the cross to die for you, to be your Savior.
Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. it for me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind, to know His name. Let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind, to know His name. The waves and wind.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine.
Sing the next verse. My Savior's love for me.